Oh, I forgot to hit record. There. No.
Sorry, can you do the intro again? I'll just
Don't give a podcaster a microphone, right? That's what I said when I brought everybody in.
So, as CJ said, my name is Chuck Tomasi. Been at this a while. She already said pretty much everything that's up here, so I'm not going to rehash that. That's the sign you see out front. But I do want to... Hey, what happened? I do want to let you know that this is how much fun you can have podcasting. This was from Technorama a while ago.
I don't know if I've done that, but I've been there.
Ben and Keith are also here. They come and invade my show on a regular basis. And Craig Stepp is in South Carolina. He comes in over Skype. So we do this on Facebook Live and then post it to YouTube. And we also have the audio podcast go out a few days later. There's a lot of different moving components besides our arms in this thing. There's a story behind why we're doing that silliness. But it was just, Craig started it and it was just kind of crazy. You can even see his Tech Now poster, which he lost. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He lost the Technorama poster. We had a Technorama poster behind him. So, my first question to you is, as a podcaster, when you're choosing a microphone, what is your objective? See, during my day job, I'm in marketing, and before that I was in pre-sales, and I learned a lot about solution selling. I want to make sure that you have the right solution. Before we identify what the solution is, let's talk about what is your objective? What are you trying to do? What do you want to get out of this? Because if you want to go out and interview people on the street, that's a whole different microphone answer than sitting in a studio with four lunatics waving their arms around. There's things you need to consider. Where are you doing this? How many people? What's the ambient noise? You may want ambient noise in your thing to lend authenticity. You know, Tales of the Con, going out to the con. If you're doing man-on-the-street interviews, you kind of want that, hey, I'm really at the con, rather than dead air. And they go, well, doesn't sound like much of a con going on there. there's nothing happening. I don't want to go to that one. So let's take these scenario by scenario. I'm just going to sit in my office at home and talk to the world. I'll record on my laptop or my desktop. What do I need? What kind of microphone would you need? In that case, you could get started with something as simple as this good old $15 Logitech that I picked up years ago, plug it in, and start recording. That's the way Adam Christensen started the MacCast, one of the most popular podcasts out there. You don't need a whole lot to start a podcast, as I've mentioned before. You could pick up your phone and start talking. There's a microphone in it. That's how people hear you make phone calls. It just works that way. What other toys I got in here that might answer that question? We'll get there. So, you're going to need some kind of computer. You could go with a USB headset, such as I've got there. You could snag one of those Rode NT-USBs off the blind auction for a real cheap price. Beautiful USB microphone, by the way. Comes with this handy-dandy little stand. I'm not trying to pimp Rode stuff, but they were good to us, so why not? Also USB, or the big mama over there, the $229 Rode Podcaster. That is a USB version of the one they call the Procaster. Podcaster's white, Procaster's black. I've got a number of the Procasters in the studio. Mike Menengay, who built that studio, the house that I live in right now, hey, he had two of them. When he moved out, that's like the only podcast thing he took with him. He said, I've done podcasting, but I want these Rodes. Well, fast forward a couple of years, he was strapped for cash. I said, you ready to sell? and they're wonderful microphones. These are, again, you know, you may not say, hey, I want to start this podcasting hobby and go whole hog with $200 microphones. If you're just testing the waters, hey, the $15 headset might do you just fine. And I've heard some pretty good recordings on USB headsets. It's surprising. As long as you don't breathe into it, you know, you hear those people on the WebEx calls or something, and it sounds like there's a hurricane coming. Nobody wants that on a podcast. And don't put it in front of your mouth, because every time you say a pee, it'll go boom. Okay. So a few things you want to be aware of when you're using microphones.
pros and cons. I'm going to show you a solution, then I'm going to tell you what the good things are. Obviously, they're very easy to configure in. Plug them in, hit record, you're ready to go. They're also very portable.
Ooh, I can stick this in my laptop bag. If anybody wants to do a podcast with me and, oh, I happen to be on a business trip, great. Call me up on Skype. I'll be there for you. This is going to give you a lot better results than talking into the
built-in microphone
in there. It's going to sound like you're on a conference call in
an auditorium. The downside is they're somewhat limited.
Because if I want to be maybe on the same podcast as Mike, and Mike and I are sitting around the table right now and say, hey, let's do a quick show. Great. How many people can talk on one of these things? You're not going to be passing it back and forth like this. And most computers will only do one USB microphone input at a time.
So I just realized I'm walking away from the recording device. It's going to get really interesting trying to make that happen. So let's go to that scenario where Mike and I are sitting around the table and we want to record. How do we get multiple people into that audio recording? Who was in the last session in this room? What's the answer?
Mixer.
A mixer. You are absolutely correct. Ding, 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 ding. And you can get these starting at about $60 for a nice low-end mixer, such as the one I have in that box over there. The Behringer Xenix 802 comes with two XLR microphone inputs. Maybe you've got a microphone that has a quarter-inch jack. They'll also plug right in there. Very easy to do. And now you can adjust the levels differently. Maybe Chris sits a little closer to the microphone and he comes in really hot. I can back him off and then level it that way. So I don't have one person talking with a huge waveform up here while the other person is mumbling in the background. So I can adjust them individually with these knobs called... Did you talk about what those were called? The main knobs? Faders.
Fine-tuning knobs is how I refer to it. I was trying to keep it simple.
You that was good for you. Some will have twisty knobs like this. Some will have slider faders that you see kind of on the TV shows when they show the big recording studio. It's just a way of fine-tuning that audio. The more coarse control up here is the gain. So very easy to configure, very easy to use. These are, even for $60, you get a lot of power out of a little mixer. Because this red channel here says FX. I don't know that I've ever used FX in this channel. But if you hook things up right, I'll get to this in a bit, you can do a Skype call very effectively without having the person hear their own voice. You're also going to need a couple of microphones. Now, with a mixer, I'm not going to be able to plug in my USB cheap set, but for the low, low price of, what's an SM58 cost these days, about $50, $60, you can get a Shure SM58. This is the workhorse of the industry. These are the kind you always see the concert people playing on stage. Hey, that's not bad. Shure makes some pretty sturdy stuff. Is it the only horse in town? Not by a long shot. Do some shopping around. Test some things out. I was just talking with
Garrett
about his microphones, and he's tested a few. Different microphones have different qualities. We'll get into some of the more sophisticated stuff. These are what we call dynamic microphones. There's two main types of microphones that you'll plug into your XLR jacks. Did you guys cover this? No? Okay. There's dynamic, and then there's a term called condenser. They don't all look like this, but just to familiarize you with some of the more common terms, if you're looking for a microphone and you say, hey, I want to go to Guitar Center, pick up my $60 mixer, what kind of microphone should I get? Different microphones, different characteristics. Condenser microphones are going to have a pretty wide pickup pattern. As Mike Menengay likes to say, you can hear a cricket farting two counties away. Very sensitive. If you have someone walking in the hallway, you might hear that with a condenser microphone. They also need something called phantom power. This is an extra signal on the line that boosts it up, and you'll usually see some sort of LED that says 48 volts or phantom power. Turn it on if you got a condenser microphone. Otherwise, you're not going to hear anything. It's sort of like Like, powered USB hub versus not powered USB hub. What happens when you have a device that requires power? It doesn't work. It's kind of funny that way. Okay, and of course, you're going to need something to record it on. I like to go to the default. Work issued me a laptop, so I usually use theirs. if you have rights to install software on there. But you could also use some sort of external recorder as well. This is going to put a audio signal out, like Chris discussed, multiple inputs, and then it's going to have an output. It says, here's your output. What do you want to do with it? I could plug that little jack in here. I could plug that little jack into the laptop. I could plug that little jack into another computer. There's a variety of things that you can do with it to capture that audio. If I save it on the laptop, hey, great. I've already got, say, Audacity running. If you were in Roz's session a little while ago, I got Audacity running. Record it there. I can instantly start editing. If I record it to this recording device, then I've got to pull the SD card out, put it in here, copy the file. A little more work, but I should also talk about the advantages there. Advantage of the recording device is it's dedicated to recording. In fact, this one's got 4 XLR inputs. This is more powerful than this, but it's also a little more expensive. 4 XLRs, I can put on another capsule on there, put in up to 6 inputs, and get each channel leveled just like a mixer. It's dedicated to that task. My laptop, on the other hand, may be trying to run a Skype connection, may be trying to do some other stuff. So its CPU is sharing a lot of processing power. And on the rare occasion that your computer crashes, this used to be more common in the early days of podcasting, if Audacity suddenly goes poof, your recording is gone. It's not like making a temporary save every 15 seconds or whatever. So be aware of how your software behaves as well. So again, one is free, one is not, one has an SD card, one is... You can weigh those things out when it comes to recording. As far as your studio setup, and this is what I'm calling a studio setup. Mixer, mic, computer. This is the low-end starting way. You can get a little crazier as you go up. But this is a studio. The advantage of this is obviously it's expandable. I can take my equipment and say, hey, guess what? I got a third host. Well, that little mixer you saw only had 2 microphone inputs. Time for a new mixer. Okay? I've had mixers that had 48 channels on them. Because you might have music coming in on one channel and Skype coming in on another channel and hand your friend another audio jack and his iPad is playing little funny clips as you go through your show and 5 microphones. It gets crazy after a while. But it's expandable. It's extendable. And you can take those same assets, the same recorder, the same microphones, connect them to the new mixer. Boom, we're up and running. Or you got your 2-channel mixer. And you say, you know what? We got a few dollars in the bank account. My wife is kind of getting on board with this podcasting thing. It's working out. What do you say we get some better microphones? Great. Can do that as well. Oh, I should say the advantage of a studio setup is also sound control. You have more control in your environment sitting in your house. As Garrett said, after the kids go to sleep, that's when he likes to do his recording, than, say, the man on the street recording. I've done this. I've been talking to people, and a garbage truck will go by. Kind of ruins the moment. You go, oh, hang on. I'll edit this out later. Now, where were we again? And you start your discussion over. So downside is it's a little more advanced configuration. We talked about USB, plug, play, go, record, done. Mixers, I swear there are some sort of mixer gremlins in the universe that just love to come in the middle of the night and tweak the knobs. Even though mine's electronic and it's off, the cats should not have any effect on this. I come back a week later and suddenly one microphone just is quieter than it used to be. What happened here? Right? It happens. There's some gremlins out there. And as for portability, that gets questionable. The little Behringer, I've got it in a Tupperware box over there. I can set that up, and I'll be up and running in about 10 minutes. I should have brought that out, but you got the picture. Somewhat portable. That's sort of my portable rig, is that Tupperware box. You start getting into 14-channel mixers and microphone booms and whatnot. Not quite so much anymore. Ben and Keith, I believe they've got a 12 or 14-channel mixer now. They go to cons and they start interviewing people, authors, movie makers, whatever it happens to be. And as they say, hey, we do a podcast. Would you like to record? Sure. Where? Come on back to our room, 403 at the Hyatt, or whatever it happens to be. They have to bring a big table, a round table. They bring snacks. They bring five chairs. They bring five microphones. They bring five microphone stands, all the cables. This doesn't sound fun anymore. They've got, you know, $2,500 worth of stuff thrown in the... But they're getting a very nice, quiet room with the people they want to talk to. And it means I don't have to haul my stuff to the Hyatt. We got a joining room last year. They let me record on their stuff. Let's take the next scenario. I want to do an interview over the phone. This is where it gets a little dicey, a little more technical. So we're going from the simple to the more advanced. The key to doing an interview over the phone is the mixer, right? Again, I can do this with my good old cheapo Behringer that I've got in the closet. And I need at least one microphone for me. And, of course, the computer. Now, to make this happen, we'll just keep building this all out. I also use an external recorder. Could I record to the laptop? Yes, maybe no. When you get to the laptop, and the laptop, I'm assuming, is running Skype. We'll use that as our default VoIP program. If Craig is in South Carolina, and he's talking to me on Skype, the computer has to output that somehow. And I've got two choices. One is a headphone jack, which are becoming more and more scarce. The line-in jack is becoming even more scarce. And I've got USB. So what I could do, if I only had USB, is use one of these babies. This takes USB and gives you stereo input and stereo output. So now I can start connecting it to the mixer. Ah, so let's say channel one is my microphone, and I've got a left and right for channel 3/4. That's another input. We'll just treat Craig like another microphone. In it comes, and that's easy. I'll just take the output of that and send it to my recorder. But how does Craig hear what I'm saying? Because if I send him the output of channels 1 and 3, he's going to hear himself. He's coming in here and going out the main mix. Well, the main mix contains his voice, and usually with an annoying latency. So he'll talk, and you'll hear the same thing, over and over, and it'll drive the other person insane. Not a good interview scenario, by the way. So to fix this, there's this red channel on the mixer. We call this mix minus. And these aren't set the right way. I should have got a better picture. But what I will do is turn on number 1 and turn off number 3. Since we're not using 2 and 4, we'll just keep this simple. This is the same mix as this. It's like having a second mixer for free. Turn that up, turn that down. And then there's an FX send here. Remember FX? This is the output. That is what Craig hears. He gets everything but himself. Now, if I want to add maybe some sound effects for my iPad, plug him into channel 3 and 4, turn that up so Craig can hear it, turn it up down on the white knob so the mixer gets it, for the recorder gets it, and the recorder's got everything. Me, Craig, music. Craig gets me, music. It's a simple concept, but it for whatever reason, it gets clouded by misconception and over-technical thinking. We got a beautiful picture of this in the book, by the way. I had to draw like 3 times and go, no, is that right? Is that right? I did my rough draft in PowerPoint, and then the artist at Wiley did a much better job. So the advantages of this, it makes it easy to record. Once it's set up, I can call Mike on Skype and go, hey, Mike, How's it going? I'll hit record first. Always hit record first. It's easy to get lost in your conversation and go, oh, crap, I didn't record anything.
That makes for a bad night.
Yeah. And you can always edit out the pre-show banter at first. Yeah. Plus, it gives you a chance to talk to your guest and say, hi, this is how it's going to go. I'll lead with this. And when you hear this, we'll go in. And don't hang up at the end, because I'd also like to get an ID. And you can say, hey, this is Richard Hatch, Battlestar Galactica, blah, blah, blah. You're listening to your favorite podcast here. May he rest in peace. So easy to record once it's set up. Once you've learned to set it up, you can do it over and over again. I could set up a Skype configuration on that little mixer in about 5 minutes. Not a bad idea to take a picture once you do get it up and running. How were the knobs set? Where were the cables? Was this the eighth-inch jack, or was this the quarter-inch jack, or was this the XLR jack? Where did it go? Labeling is also a nice idea. If you got, I used to get teased by some other podcasters, like, Chuck, you even label this as Tomasi. It's like, yeah, because I loan XLR cables to people and don't get them back, and they're not cheap. The downside is, of course, it's a little more advanced. We've gone way beyond the plug-and-play here. I do recommend a recorder, because most computers these days will get confused if you've got inputs going, outputs going. And could you do this in software with certain applications? Yeah. I invite you to explore some of that stuff. It's kind of fun. I like the hardware approach because it's more straightforward to me anyway. I can feel it. I can touch it. I know when I hit record on this machine, I can tweak the dial and go a little more input, a little less input, that kind of thing. Any questions about the interview scenario? Don't forget to hit record. Oh, and if you've got the...
Where is it?
There it is. Hold on.
Well, since I'm going to the bucket anyway, I forgot a couple of props over here.
All right. More toys.
That one's coming up at the end. So... not a big deal. Okay, here's the little red knobs, here's the little white knobs, there's the 48 volt for phantom power, life goes on.
This recording device in the middle is called the Zoom. That is the H2N, very popular device. Its predecessor was the H2, also a very popular device. There's one thing, if you find one of these on eBay, you can probably find it for $75 or less. I don't know about the H2. I hope to God they fix this on the H2N. But on this device, there is one thing that podcasters love to joke about, and that's hit record twice, damn it.
Yes.
When you hit record once, the red light goes on. Yep. And blinks at you. But the seconds aren't counting yet. It's like standby mode.
Yes.
The
worst. More times, they're laughing because they've done this.
So many times.
It's a wonderful device. It can be your USB microphone. For a long time, Craig didn't even use a mixer. He just stood this sucker up, plugged it into Skype, and this is his microphone. It's got stereo on the front. It's got stereo on the back. I could do 4-channel recording at one point, which is awesome. Great for choirs, by the way. It's 2 AA batteries or an AC. Just wonderfully flexible. SD card. I think you put a 16 gig in there and you get like 24 months of recording. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. The UI on the menus is not that great. You go down, 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 enter. Oh, format. No. but tremendously flexible for what you get for the price. But hit record twice. If you don't, don't walk away unless you see 1, 2, 3, you know, the seconds counting on the second counter, or you're not recording. If you don't believe it, hit stop and do it again twice. So the tip of the day from the H2 crowd. For phone interviews, I already went through all this good stuff. So next scenario, I want to do a mobile cast. Well, here's an option. Just hit record twice. I've done a lot of mobile casts. Pick it up, hit record. Hey, this is Chuck. I am in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming. I don't have phone signal, but I can record. Not a bad way to go.
Options you could also think of?
How about this friendly thing? I assume everybody's got one of these, right? You can do a mobile cast. T mentioned this Dog Days thing. Well, every August we do this challenge called the Dog Days of Podcasting. Craig Stepp.
I hate you, Craig Stepp.
Yeah, we hate Craig Stepp for starting this idea back in 2012. Challenge to podcaster, do a podcast a day for the month of August. Sounds easy. It doesn't have to be polished. It doesn't have to be professional. It doesn't have to be long. It's just, if you've got a topic or a theme or a crisis, whatever you want to talk about, you can do it here. T was giving writer's tips this year. That was a lot of good information. I was talking about how my wife and I met 30 years ago, because this is the 30th anniversary of our dating. I'm off on a tangent, but this is the way I recorded most of them. I pick up the phone, I start an application. It could be the simple built-in voice recorder. I used one called Boss Jock because it allowed me to record, insert sound, cartridges where you hit something and it plays your music at the beginning, music at the end, get done, hit save, upload it to my FTP server, then I go make my WordPress post. You can make it even easier than that. This was my studio for probably 28 out of those 30 days of the challenge. That's a mobile cast. If you want to,
you can add accessories. Get some of my more props here.
One of them, a couple of these are actually in our silent auction. The Rode sent us a lot of stuff. One is a lavalier microphone. You've probably seen these when people are presenting, clipped somewhere on the shirt, or newscasters, or whatever. Just a discreet little microphone. If you do wear one of these and you're wearing it for a long time, run it like inside the clothing so the wires aren't catching on chairs as you walk by. Not that that's ever happened. But this is designed to go right in your headphone jack. Sorry, iPhone 7 and 8 users. Get your little lightning adapter and it'll work too. Okay. Same kind of thing.
So you know, Pip just said, I do love my Rode.
There we go. Endorsement from the crowd. So a lavalier microphone might be a good accessory. Why? Anybody? Anybody?
Portable.
Hmm?
Portable.
It's portable. Consistent audio. Yes. If you've ever seen anybody use a handheld microphone, they often start doing this kind of thing.
Forget who they're pointing at.
Right. Lots of gesticulation. And if I'm doing my podcast and I'm getting really excited about where I'm going, and look, we went up that mountain over there. What just happened to my audio?
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone's going to be down and up. What is this person's problem? It's like, are they going around a merry-go-round or something? It will be very hard to listen to.
I would also say that the bonus of a lavalier mic versus a consistent audio, it's better quality audio. The microphones are good in a phone, but they're like the equivalent of the microphones in a camera. If you're doing video and you're using the onboard camera, the microphone is okay. You got a lavalier mic, it's nice and clean and crisp. And you just have to sync up the audio with the video and you're good. Sync it with a podcast.
Like any other microphone, however, practice.
Yes.
Practice. Because clipping the microphone here may be good on this microphone, but it may actually work better down here for another microphone. Or over here, as long as you're not doing this kind of thing and going back to inconsistency. So practice, test it out, see what you like. It may work better in a quiet environment like this versus out in a noisier environment.
I was just going to bring that up. If it's a quiet environment, because most of the labs are all omnidirectional.
Yes.
They pick up everything.
Yep.
If there's something off axis you don't want, you're going to get it anyway.
So another option that can help clean things up, and again, portable. Okay, so phone. You could do the recorder, like I said. I'm just making sure my slides agree with what I just said in the last 10 minutes. Lavalier microphone. Woohoo! Got it all there. What are the pros of doing your mobile cast?
Portability,
absolutely. It's mobile. What are some of the... This one's interesting because you may, as I mentioned before, want to get some of that background noise. I'm here at a con. There are people behind me. I'm doing a bowling cast. You might want to hear the pins striking if you're doing a podcast at a bowling alley. It sounds authentic. What are the disadvantages?
Drive-bys.
Dogs. Drive-bys? Hey, it's not very extensible. I could. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. I've got a couple more options here with the mobile. This is a different type of lavalier microphone. I've got a little foam windscreen on, but it's got two microphones on the side. So it'll give you more stereo separation. This is a stereo lavalier microphone. It's not the most attractive thing, but it produces pretty decent. I believe that's a Griffin that I got years ago. There's also this thing, which looks like a tail of a squirrel. That's because it has a windscreen on it. Now, a windscreen is what you see like on TV when you actually get to see them like making a movie and they'll have a boom hanging over the people. This cuts down your wind noise. Anybody ever heard a podcast where it sounds like that hurricane going by? I'm here! You're not Jim Cantore in a Cat 5 hurricane, okay? Or an F5 hurricane. It's just... The affectionate name for this is...
Dead Cat.
A dead cat. I love that. But these things really help. This is the VideoMic ME from Rode. I know it sounds like I'm a Rode commercial, but like I said, they were good to us. The idea of this... is put her in there, yeah, put it in there, and now I'm recording using the built-in microphone, but it's pointing at me almost like a directional microphone, and it actually has a pretty good range. I did a lot of these using a selfie stick for the eclipse in Wyoming, and I had a selfie stick, and it was darn nice. I could be outside and go, hey, check this out. The sun's starting to get a little dimmer now. We're getting a little excited. And recorded some videos that way. Very nice. Also has a headphone jack so you can monitor what you're recording. Also very valuable. You don't just want to... And this little guy on the back, took me a while to figure out what that was for. That keeps it from doing... this.
Is that a Rode?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
The VideoMic ME. So now if you bump it, you're not recording the guy next to you. Instead, put on the dead cat. There's one disadvantage of the dead cat, though. When you get that on there, it's kind of hard to even see your record button anymore. So, nice little feature. So that's another portable recording option that you could consider. Just more on microphones and the portable rig. Background noise could be your enemy, though. It could overpower what you're trying to record. Surprisingly enough, most microphones, if I'm recording here, it's funny because what was I watching the other day? There was a video of a man in a helicopter bringing relief to Puerto Rico. And they showed maybe just 5 seconds of him. And he's in the helicopter. And if you want to hear a noisy environment, it's riding inside of a helicopter. One of these like army surplus kind that bring relief to the Puerto Ricans. And he is shouting at the top of his lungs when he really doesn't need to be. He thinks he has to overpower the helicopter. There's this thing called the inverse square law. If you are 1 foot away, you're going to get, say, 1x of the volume recorded on the microphone. If you're 2 feet away, you're getting half of that. And at 4 feet away, excuse me, the further you go, it's exponential, yes. Next time you have your head in the refrigerator and your spouse asks you something and you can't hear and you take a slight step back, the refrigerator has just become a lot less of an impedance, and you can hear your spouse. So if you hear them saying something but can't make out what you're saying, just yell back, inverse square law! Never works. But that's the same applies to the microphones. If I am here, I'm going to get a really good pattern. I don't have to shout over the AC unit, which... is almost equally as powerful as I am right now if I put this microphone in the middle of the room. So distance on a microphone is key. Some microphones, particularly the dynamic microphones, you might have to get right on and chew on them to get that really beautiful sound that you look for. Moving this far away might sound like you're in the next county, because if once you understand the pickup pattern of that microphone, you get a lot more quality out of that. You understand, practice, and understand what you got. Okay, Chris.
So, with background noise,
yes.
We did a whole convention where we took our entire studio, basically. The whole table was there on a convention floor.
Yep.
We have pop filters in front of our mics, normally. Believe it or not, moving them to the back of the microphone...
Oh, interesting.
...cut out a huge amount of the background noise, where it was still there, but it wasn't intruding on the mic itself.
That's an... I've never heard of that before.
We still had windscreens on there, not full-on dead cats, but just the phone ones. So the pops weren't picked up, but yeah, moving the pop filter to the back of the mic made a huge difference, and it's totally listenable.
I've never heard about that. I
mean, because many microphones, you had like an XLR?
Yes.
Okay, so this is the AKG Perception 200. Mm-hmm. Mike left this with the house. Sort of a standing joke. So. But this is the same one that T is auctioning off. And when he mentioned in his keynote that he was using his MXL incorrectly, he was talking into it this way. There is front addressable microphones and side addressable microphones.
That's the kind we use as side.
Understand side which is which.
Yes.
My Heil and my Rode all go like this. I like it from a camera perspective, because we do video. It's not in anybody's face, and they're trying to read around it. So there's functionality to be considered, too, if you're in your studio. If I'm just sitting there narrating a book or something, this might actually work better. Something else about condenser microphones that I forgot to mention, and I did mention in the book, and I try to get this every chance I get because it drives me insane. Not from necessarily a listener's perspective, but from an editor's perspective. One of the things we like to do is go to DragonCon every year. And while we're at DragonCon, a number of us get together in the room, and we do kind of a cheap version of Mystery Science Theater 3000. Everybody know what that is? Where you riff on movies and make comments. LeJean's got the t-shirt and everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He has no idea what it is. In a room full of condenser microphones, remember I said they have a wide pickup pattern? I'm over here talking on my microphone. It's not just picking up me. It's picking up Mike. And we may be talking at the same time. And his condenser microphone is picking up me at the same time. Yep. And even though we're both talking 4 inches from our microphone, the combined equation sounds like we're all in a room with one microphone sitting right there. Hmm. It is annoying as sin to try and edit that.
I used my H6, fortunately, and everybody had their own channel. But what happens when we're all talking to each other? If I have just Chuck talking, I can mute out Clinton and Craig and Scott, the other microphones, and I come in crystal clear. This is just my microphone. It's picking up just this voice. And then when Clinton says something, well, I mute the other three and turn on Clinton's channel. That's no fun for an hour and a half. Trust me, it was a long movie and I didn't even finish editing. I spent maybe 2 hours and I had about 15 minutes of this thing edited and said, screw it. It's not worth it. So condenser microphones, and it took me a while to figure this out, because in the studio that Mike left me, there were several of these sprinkled around, and I noticed we had the dynamic microphones on the seats where most people would sit. You get one guest, it's me. You get two guests, it's me and seat number two and three, and that was fine. And then every once in a while we have a party, and everybody show up, and I turn on mics four and five. And suddenly all the audio would suck. Like, what the hell's going on here? Took me a while to figure out. It was the condenser microphones picking up everybody at the same time and sort of washing out that quality. I went, oh, okay. And that's when I bought his other two Rodes.
The OpEx is rejection. It's so critical.
All right. Any other questions? We have a whole 7 minutes left. I'm kind of watching that clock with a bad battery.
So what about feedback? How would you control feedback?
Feedback. Good point. Feedback comes from having a speaker or an amplifier near a microphone. And you will hear it. And this is my favorite thing because I do the audio at this church. And we are constantly plagued with feedback because some audio engineer genius decided to put the amplifier right in the front of the church, right behind the pulpit microphone. Nice. And what do people do when they hear feedback? They're talking into this microphone this far and they hear, they back off. Wrong thing to do. Because now what does the microphone have to do? Listen harder. So the audio engineer, technician, opens it up, which starts this feedback loop. So if you have people here, and I'm going to make a video in the next month, I've been planning this for a while, just a short little how-to for our guest speakers, the people who do the readings in the church, whatever it is, say, this is how far you should speak. If you're too far away, no one's going to hear you. Please help me help you and stand close to this thing. And if it's in your face and you can't read, let's talk. But feedback is the microphone is listening really hard and picking up every iota. It's listening so hard, it's hearing the speaker more than it's hearing the person. And it starts doing this, I hear you, I'm saying something, and that's what a feedback loop is. Good question.
Whew. Did you talk about booms?
I did not talk about booms. In fact, the next session is all about accessories. So I'm going to leave off pop filters and whatnot.
One more question.
Yeah, yeah.
Mobile microphones are wireless microphones.
Wireless mobile microphones? Like DH2
like
kind of?
Kind, yeah. Is there any kind that are
Let me get to the next one. I think that it might have an answer for you. So my next scenario is let's do interviews in the field. Again.
You could.
I'm just going to build this out. You could use good old H2. It comes with what they call a lollipop stick, which I think...
No, it's in the other bucket. Oh, there it is. I found it.
It also comes with a little stand that you can put it on your desk. Very nice. I'm talking to you. You're talking to me. I could even turn on all four microphones and get us that way. And then I get kind of into that, are you talking, am I talking, have to edit thing. This is sort of like two condenser mics. Or I could, you know, try the flip of the wrist, or just set it talking to you, and maybe my questions are sort of secondary to get the discussion started. Totally up to you. You could use a portable recorder as your microphone. What's the danger of this?
Not getting the record button.
Well, running out of batteries would suck, yeah, but I got an AC adapter. What was that one?
Not hitting the record button again.
Not hitting the record button. Well. At least here I can see it's not recording. If it's on my desk and I just start talking about my other stuff now. Handling noise. This is directly connected to the microphone. If I'm jostling it back and forth, you'll hear crunch, crunch, clunk, clunk, and it will start to get in the way of your recording. People will go, are they moving boxes around in this room while you're recording? So something to consider. The same
is true, or maybe not,
for a standard stick microphone. This is the Rode Reporter, they call it. What kind of connection is that on the bottom? XLR. Can I put an XLR into my mobile phone? No, not normally. So you're going to need some sort of adapter. Or, as Mike alluded to, wireless. Wireless gets a little more pricey because you need a transmitter and a receiver. I looked for a while. I wanted one of those capsules that you just slap on here that you always see on the newscasters. Like, oh, that's nice. But you know, TV channels have money, too. Podcasters generally don't. But I can use something like this, which takes XLR to lightning. Ooh, not bad. It's a handy thing. I used this a couple of times. One when I was in Wyoming, talking to Dr. Jill Tarter, who is the former director of SETI. We had a great discussion in a nice conference room. Went real well. Had to watch the handling noise. This one's not as prone to it because it's got a heftier grip. This is like a 4-pound microphone.
Condenser inside there too, which helps.
Yeah. Nice high quality microphone. I can monitor, always important, and control the monitor headphones. This isn't controlling what's coming in. However, this let me down big time. when I was at Dragon Con, we were doing cosplay interviews. I made a quick video and I was having some fun. I said, hey, Wonder Woman, do you think female superheroes should get equal pay? You know, stuff like that. But it was very noisy and I went, Wonder Woman! I'm shouting so she can hear me and I can hear her. And it was completely blown out. It was some of the worst audio I ever recorded. I was very disappointed. So again, experiment, experiment, experiment. I'm very sad this didn't turn out because I had high hopes for this microphone. Now, it might be me learning how to run the microphone. It could have been the software I was using to record. It could have been a number of things. Would I have been better off putting this XLR directly into the H6 and then merging the audio and video later? Probably. But again, I've got to do more experimentation with this bad boy before it goes much further. Again, portable interviews, portable recording. Downside, extensibility. How many people are going to be able to talk on this thing? If I'm recording into my phone, only one. If I'm recording into something like the H6, I could get up to six. Hey, that'd be fun. Background noise, always watch out for that. Other microphones that are out there, how are we doing? We got like 45 seconds. Oh, man. No, I got...
I have a question.
Yes.
Have you used a Snowball mic?
I have not used a Snowball, but I hear very good things about those. Snowball is a USB microphone, if I remember right.
And it's all around. It's round. So I got done roundtable discussions.
Yeah.
With people just speaking around the Snowball.
I'm curious.
It's really nice and clean.
It's got like three settings, so you can do...
Yes.
Very nice.
I've had it for years, but it's still...
Do you remember what they cost?
I won it at...
If you're getting them second-hand.
Yeah, you can get them because I think it's 1.5 normally.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that had an Omni setting on it.
That's pretty cool.
It was dynamic.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
And it's USB, so you can just hook it up to your laptop.
The little legs, you can set it in the center of the table.
Yep.
I mean, I had one of the blues before.
Right, the blue is sort of the personal version of that one. Yep.
That's who makes the Snowball is blue.
Yeah.
But I had one of the blues, which is a really nice microphone, but again, it's a condenser, which I moved past condensers because of all the things that we were just talking about.
Real quick, a couple of outliers that you may want to consider. These are toys that I've picked up over the years. One is a shotgun microphone.
Yes.
Not used a whole lot in podcasting. But could be.
Should be.
I've got one. The shotgun microphone is a very narrow focus beam. If I want to pick up Mike's answer, I might be better off putting a separate track on this H6 and pointing a microphone at him. And I can pick it up pretty darn well from here. It will sound like he's maybe 3 feet away from the microphone. I use them a lot in my videos that I make for work. It's off screen, but it's picking me up at a very particular range. I don't have to wear a lavalier, and I can sound like I'm pretty darn close to that microphone. So it's a nice, discreet, off-camera microphone. Another one is binaural microphones. A lot of times you see these in earbuds, too. They'll have the earbuds with the microphones in them. A guy I know, Grant Pachoco, does a Disney podcast. He does about 18 million podcasts, but one of them is called Ride Attraction Checklist, something like that. And he goes on Disney rides, and you will hear it in stereo because he's recording it in stereo. It's two separate microphones going into his recorder. It's an intriguing way of doing things. If you're doing things that are more ambient and you want to get that full surround effect, that stereo effect, binaural microphones. The other one,
well,
you probably...
It's standard in TV now. Every show we use.
Oh, yeah.
Is the binaural. Everything is done.
Is that why you see two of them?
That's
why. Even though there's one person talking.
Exactly. Yep.
Maybe
because when you multiply the audio input, you actually increase the gain and knock down all the... you reject better.
Okay.
So you can boost the gain without losing the quality.
The other one you've probably seen a million times... It's called the Countryman. Kind of hard to see, but this lady's got that little thing right alongside her cheek, usually flesh tone color. These are more expensive than you think. They're stupid expensive, but they work really well. We use these in church because then the pastor is always right there. He can turn his head. Works great for the consistency standpoint, but they're like $350 just for this stupid little microphone.
They break really, really.
they do have durability issues. So when I see the pastor just rip it off at the end of the service, I die inside a little bit. Because that connection that goes over the ear and connects right to the first part of the wire is detachable, but it's also easily breakable. We probably send these things in to be serviced half a dozen times a year between the three we use. They'll usually be on the wireless, yes. So they'll clip the thing onto their belt, and I'll pick up the transmission in the sound booth and take care of it.
You can't wire them, though, if you do a belt clip with them. I've toyed with that idea, but realistically, like you were saying with the shotgun mics should be used way, way more. If you're doing a video podcast, that's the way to do it. Don't mess with the freaking labs and the trying to get booms and so forth. Just put everybody in the shotgun.
Yeah.
You can do so much better.
A lot of microphones out there. I know if you've got questions, talk to some of these people who have used them in the past. Lots of different options. I don't claim to have used every kind of microphone in every situation, but picked up a few things over the years. So thank you very much for coming out. I am done. We got about 10 minutes till the next session. Little contact info. I'll leave that up if you do want to get a hold of me, but I think most of you know how by this point anyway.